Now, still to come today, Dave and I find out why the sweet spot matters in sports, and we get a sneak preview of a scientist-inspired album, The Superheroes of Science. But for now, Mira met up with eminent scientist Carl Gerassi. He was one of the team developing the first oral contraceptive pill in 1951, and has been very well awarded for his magnificent contributions to science, getting the National Medal of Science, the Perkin Medal, being featured in the National Inventors Hall of Fame, and even getting his face on an Austrian postage stamp. A high accolade indeed, I think. But more recently, he's won critical acclaim for his playwriting, weaving science into theatre and into territories where science is rarely seen. Despite being born in 1923, he's been instrumental in writing some science-themed rap. Now, science and rap music sound like very strange bedfellows, but it's actually an enjoyable and inspiring combination.
Yes, yes, y'all, you know that it's on. The rapper on the mic is MC Flogiston. In the chemistry arena, I'm taking home the title. Sire, I'm dire, the fire that is vital. No recital, no...
World-renowned chemist Professor Carl Gerassi gave a talk at the Royal Society in London. Now, Carl's quite a legend, as he was the creator of the first steroidal contraceptive pill. But he's retired from the world of chemistry now and mastered the profession of playwriting, occasionally even using rap as a medium to communicate science. His event in London was titled Washing Dirty Lab Coats in Public, so I met up with him to find out what exactly he was trying to portray in his talk.
Well, when one talks to a general public about science, one usually talks about the science that is being done, the discoveries or inventions. I wanted to talk about the behavior and culture of scientists, which is totally unknown, really, to the general public, or else exaggerated. They're Frankensteins or nerds. And I want to show that we're really human beings with all of our qualities as well as foibles. And I try to illustrate this both in my novels, which I call Science in Fiction, and in my theatre plays, which I call Science in Theatre.
Would you say you're trying to get people to see the actual darker sides because there's not enough of that shown in the public as it is, or are you trying to just show it the culture as a whole, so both the positives and the darker sides?
Oh, absolutely the latter. I come from that culture, and I cannot shed it. I think it is both the most cooperative of really human endeavors and the most brutally competitive at the same time. That is the unusual thing. It's important that people realize this. And I think the unrealistic thing is, you know, to put scientists on a pedestal. The other thing is, you know, since I'm talking to a woman, it's one of the evolving issues in every one of my plays and novels, the role of modern women in a male-dominated discipline, the very phallocentric nature of science, which is not unexpected because it was created exclusively by men who established the rules of the game. Now that women get into the field, also as professors and chairs of departments. So I'm writing about this. I'm writing about the barriers and so on.
It's interesting that you talk about the role of women in the world of science. Some of your earlier discoveries had an effect on the place of women in society to begin with. You obviously were one of the inventors of the first steroidal contraceptive pill. Is that something that has resulted from things like the pill?
I was involved in the first chemical synthesis of oral contraceptive. I'm a chemist. So that we did in 1951. The recognition, the impact that oral contraceptives would have on women and really on the world. I think one would be lying if one said all these people realized all that in the 1950s, because no one expected women would accept it that quickly and on that huge scale. And the implications, which also happen, people forget this, the 1960s, always say, well, pill caused the sexual revolution. The 1960s, well, the decade of rock and roll music, the hippie culture, the drug culture, and most importantly, the women's liberation movement, which really moved in the middle and late 1960s, particularly in the States. It was that mixture. Remember, the chemical was done in 51. The approval in the United States only came in 1960, came at exactly the right time.
Are you quite proud of what's happened as a result of you creating such a steroid?
Absolutely. People often ask me if I could do it all over again. Would I do? And I said the answer is yes.
You had a very flourishing career as a chemist. What made you want to start writing and start wanting to do plays to show the culture of science today?
It was a very logical transition because through the work on the pill, I did a lot of lecturing and teaching. I directed research in this area for a number of years. And I realized there where I really was talking about the cultural, psychological, economic, legal aspects, which are much more complex. And I decided to become an intellectual smuggler, really smuggle information that people either don't want to hear or they're afraid of it or there are no opportunities for this in the guise of fiction. And this is why I call it science and fiction rather than science fiction. But when they actually did get to the last page, they'd learn something, whether they realize it or not.
Knock, knock.
Who is it?
It's me and I'm gifted. I'm binding elements that I'm finding have drifted. Transforming them into everything is so easy, like salts and heavy metals, but not AC/DC. What more can I say? You know I'm the bomb, the only one under the sun, MC Flawless Dawn. Yes.
You said you use things like a rap in order to help get some of your information across. How well have those been received?
Well, that went fantastically well. These two raps that I commissioned, I didn't do them, nor did I sing them, commissioned for Oxygen and for NO, and I've even done this, well, for instance, I did this rap yesterday, one of them, the Oxygen rap at the Royal Society. Well, there weren't any young people there, but they were all beaming and bouncing. The rap is a very interesting style. And if you think about even some of the vicious rap, has some interesting pedagogic information transmittal aspects. It's a very modern form of music. Well, first of all, it's unusual to do it in the context of science. So I wanted to, of course, do the unusual thing so people get interested and at the same time absorb some information.
What part of your career would you say you've enjoyed the most, the part as a chemist or the part as a novelist playwright?
What I'm doing now is writing plays or writing now again some nonfiction in dialogic form and giving lots of lectures, particularly in Europe. So I enjoy that most, no question. One of the reasons, of course, because you're entirely, totally, 100% involved in this without any infrastructure. And, you know, as a scientist, I have a large team. You have to write grant applications. You do this and that and so on. And things move on even if you don't do anything. Well, now, if I don't write, no one else is going to do it for me. So I enjoy that most.
Even if anyone else did do it for him, I don't think they'd do it as well. Carl's now written over 10 plays and even more novels, which have all had success worldwide in portraying the culture of science. I'll leave you with another insert of his modern method of chemistry education.
There's many elements, some we know about. The rest of weight still has to be...
And that was Carl Gerassi telling Mira how his career in chemistry led to the creation of the oral contraceptive pill and his more recent interest in rap music. That interview is also featured in the Chemistry World podcast, which you can find on the web at chemistryworld.org.
It is The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and Diana O'Carroll. We're sitting in for Chris and the gang while they're off enjoying their long, hot summer break. And we're bringing you the finest science from our travels around the world. Now, don't forget that we do actually beam this programme straight into Second Life. That's live from 6 p.m. UK time, which is 10 a.m. Second Life time. There's a great group there who discuss the science in the show. So if you'd like to join them, visit the Sylands area and then just do a search for The Naked Scientists. You'll find our mansion where you can drop by, relax on one of the sun lounges, enjoy listening to the show and discussing the science involved with loads of other people from all over the world. And while you're online, why not tell us how you think we could make our show even better than it already is? We want to hear from you about what you like or dislike, and we set up a survey at thenakedscientist.com/survey so you can give us all of your feedback.